reward and punishment. In the hereafter, reward and punishment is a certain reality. However, it is evident from the Quran that at times this reward and punishment also takes place in this world. This lesser judgment is a prelude to the greater judgment, which will take place in the hereafter. The various forms of this reward and punishment which the Almighty has spelled out in the Quran are, firstly, people who are only after this world, live and die for it, and are absolutely indifferent to the hereafter, are given whatever worldly benefits the Almighty wants to give them, and then their account is settled by Him in this very world, and they are rewarded or punished right in this world on the basis of their deeds. We recompense in this world the deeds of those who desire the life of this world with all its finery, and they are not given less in it in any way. Surah 11, verse 15. Secondly, those who reject their respective Rasul or Messenger, even after being communicated the truth, to the extent that they are left with no excuse to deny it, are punished in this very world, and those who profess faith in Him are embraced by the blessings of God from all sides. And for each nation there is a Rasul. Then when a Rasul comes to a nation, their matter is decided with justice and they are not wronged. Surah 10, verse 47. This is an unchangeable practice of God. The accounts of the people of Noah, Lot, Shu'aib, Hud, and Saleh, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides those of other prophets which have been narrated in the Quran, are a tale of the lesser days of judgment that took place in this world. In human history, such a lesser day of judgment was set up for the last time for the people of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever we sent a prophet as a messenger to any city, we tested its people with hardships which were financial and which afflicted their persons, so that they adopt humility in their supplications. Then we changed their adversity to good fortune, so that when they had prospered a lot, they said, "Good and bad days also befell our forefathers." At last we seized them suddenly, and they were caught unaware. And had the people of these cities professed faith and remained God-fearing, we would have showered upon them blessings from the heavens and the earth, but they rejected, and we seized them in retribution of their misdeeds. Surah 7, verses 94 to 96. Thirdly, the Almighty has promised the progeny of Abraham, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if they adhere to the truth, they will lead all nations of the world, and if they deviate from it, they will be deposed from this position and will have to face the punishment of humiliation and subjugation. The words, "Keep my covenant and I will keep yours," from Surah 2 verse 40, refer to this very covenant of the Almighty with the Israelites. The warning sounded in the words, "If you do it again, we would also do it again," from Surah 17 verse 8, also refers to this. All the books of the Bible mention the details of this covenant. And recall when Abraham was put to trial by his Lord in a few things and he fulfilled them. He said, "I have decided to appoint you the leader of mankind." "And what of my descendants?" asked Abraham. He replied, "My covenant does not apply to the evildoers." Surah 2, verse 124. It is this very promise of the Almighty which is specifically mentioned for the Israelites in the following verse. "And if they adhered to the Torah and the Gospel, and that what has been revealed to them from their Lord, they would have received the sustenance of their Lord from above them and from beneath their feet. No doubt there is one group among them who is righteous, but those whose deeds are evil abound." Surah 5, verse 66. It is recorded in Deuteronomy, Surah 28, verses 1 to 25. "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 25.
Belief in the angels. Gratitude is for God only, creator of the heavens and the earth, he who has made the angels as messengers, with two, three, or four wings. He increases his creation according to his will. Indeed, God has power over all things. Surah 35, verse 1. The beings through whom the Almighty sends down his directives for his creation are called angels. The Quran uses the word al-mala'ika for them, which is a plural of the word malak. And the word malak itself has sprung from malak. The word means a messenger. In the above quoted verses, the Quran itself has alluded to the fact that the word mala'ika has been chosen for them to connote this very meaning. Consequently, it is evident from the Quran that it is through the angels that communication between this world and the one beyond it is established, and the Almighty is running the affairs of this world through them. The way this is done is that whatever directive they receive from the Almighty is implemented by them as his obedient subordinates. Their own intention or exercise of authority is not involved in this process in any way. They are an embodiment of obedience and are busy all the time in glorifying him and in celebrating his praises and never disobey him in the slightest of way. And they are not defiant to the slightest and fear their Lord, who is above them, and do exactly as they are bidden. Surah 16, verses 49 to 50. While explaining the reasons for which man has been asked to profess belief in the angels, Imam Amin Ehsan Islahi writes, "An inseparable part of faith in divine books and in prophets is faith in the angels. Without believing in the angels, the channel between God and his prophets is rendered ambiguous and unclear. This ambiguity not only conceals an important step in the means of communicating guidance and knowledge, but is also responsible in leading mankind astray in matters of divine guidance. Mankind has always acknowledged that there is a God, and has also conceded that if there is a God, then he should inform them of his likings. However, when he does not come before us face to face, and we are not able to directly view him, then the question arises about the means through which he communicates his guidance and directives to his creatures. If for this purpose he selects certain outstanding individuals who are called prophets and messengers, then the same question also arises about them. How does he communicate his directives to them? Does he come face to face with them or adopt some means for this purpose? The answer to this question is that the means through which God communicates with his creation is wahi, or divine revelation, which he sends down through his angels, in particular, the exalted angel Gabriel. These angels are the noblest and most superior of God's creatures. They have the ability to directly acquire wahi from the Almighty. It is because of this strong connection of the angels with prophets and divine revelation that in order to profess faith in the prophets of God and in his books, it is essential that faith be professed in them as well. They are entrusted with the responsibility of communicating between God and his prophets and messengers, and viewed thus they are essential as they are the only creatures which are able to have equal communication with both this world and the one beyond it. Because they are made from light, they are able to bear the glow and radiance of God. And because they have been created, they are also able to maintain communication with human beings. Except for them, no creature can attain this level of nearness with the Almighty. Hence it was deemed necessary that besides professing faith in prophets and messengers, faith should also be professed in messengers who can mediate and communicate between God and his messengers. Reference Amin Ehsan Islahi, Tadabburi Quran, Volume 1, 423. The responsibilities of the angels which the Almighty has mentioned in the Quran are the following. They implement the directives of God among his creation. In that night, descend the angels and the spirit by the permission of their Lord with commands in all affairs. Surah 97, verse 4. Just as they descend with the directives of God, they also ascend upwards to be in the presence of God. The angels and the spirit ascend towards him in a day the measure of which, according to your calculation, is 50,000 years. Surah 70, verse 4. They reveal the messages of God to His prophets. He sends down the angels with a revelation of His directive to those among His servants whom He chooses to warn people. There is no God but Me, therefore fear Me. Surah 16, verse 2. It is evident from the Quran that it is generally Gabriel who brings down the revelations. He occupies the highest status among the angels and is the most favored one as well. He can directly access the Almighty, and no one can come between Him and the Almighty. The Quran has also called Him powerful, trustworthy, and one who is obeyed. This means that He is fully capable and able to carry out all responsibilities entrusted to Him. Hence, there is no possibility that any other power or evil spirit influence or overawe Him, or convince Him to betray God, or that He Himself mix up or make mistakes in the revelations given to Him. He has been safeguarded from all these shortcomings by the Almighty. The Quran says, He is taught by One who is powerful and mighty. He stood on the uppermost horizon. Then, drawing near, He came down within two bows' length or even closer, and revealed to His servant that which He revealed. Surah 53, verses 5-10. They write down and preserve the words and deeds of human beings. Whereas appointed over you are guardians, noble scribes. They know what you do. Surah 82, verses 10-12. They descend with glad tidings and punishment for people. And our messengers came to Abraham with glad tidings. They said, Peace be to you. Abraham answered, Peace be to you too. Soon he brought them a roasted calf to serve them. But when he saw their hands being withheld from it, he felt strange and a little afraid of them. They said, Have no fear, we have been sent forth to the people of Lot to mete out punishment to them. Surah 11, verses 69-70. Another thing which is incidentally evident from the above verses is that angels can assume the form of human beings, and in spite of this, do not require food for their sustenance and are free from such wants. They remain busy in glorifying and exalting the Lord, and pray to Him for the forgiveness of those who inhabit the earth. And the angels give glory to their Lord, celebrating His praises and seek forgiveness from Him for those on earth. Pay heed! Surely it is God who is the Forgiving One, the Merciful. Surah 42, verse 5. They claim the souls of people. Say, The angel of death in charge of you will claim your souls. Then to your Lord shall you be returned. Surah 32, verse 11. They are the companions of the faithful both in this world and in the hereafter, and give them glad tidings of paradise at their death. As for those who said, Our Lord is God, and remained steadfast on this, angels will descend to them with the glad tidings. Fear not and grieve not, and accept the glad tidings of the paradise you used to be promised of. We were your companions in this world, and now we are also your companions in the hereafter. And here you shall be given everything you desire and everything that you ask for. Surah 42, verses 30-31. In the hereafter, they shall be in the presence of God and shall be carrying His throne. And you shall see the angels encircling the throne, glorifying and celebrating the praises of their Lord. Surah 39, verse 75. And the angels will be at its border, and eight of them will on that day bear the throne of your Lord over them. Surah 69, verse 17. They shall be in charge of hell. Hell will be in the charge of stern and mighty angels who never disobey what God commands them and do exactly as they are directed. Surah 66, verse 6. It is implicitly evident from the Quran that the angels shall also be in charge of paradise and its affairs. Besides referring to these obligations and responsibilities, the Quran has at several places negated the various erroneous concepts people had formed about them. Consequently, it was clarified that angels are not the daughters of God the way these foolish deem them to be. In fact, the angels are the near ones of God. They have attained this nearness not because they are able to have their way with God by influencing or cajoling Him, but because they conform to every standard of serving and obeying Him. They cannot even take the initiative in conversing with Him unless He allows them to. What to speak of having their way with Him in such a manner? Then whatever they are asked, they reply with all due respect and always speak the truth. They can neither intercede for someone nor take any step on their own. On the contrary, they always await the directives of God and tremble with his fear. They say, "The merciful has children." Certainly not. He is above this. In fact, these angels are but his honored servants. They never take the initiative in speaking to him, and in all circumstances obey his command. He knows everything what is before them and what is behind them, and they do not intercede for anyone save those whom he accepts and tremble in awe of him. And whoever of them says, "I am also a god besides God," so we shall punish him with hell. Thus do we regard the wrongdoers. Surah 21, verses 26-29. Imam Amin Ehsan Islahi writes, "Human intellect has always been curious about the spirits that live in the world beyond, and so vehemently has it remained in going after them that if it has not been able to lay hands on the truth in this matter, it has even adopted the most erroneous and flawed notions about it. The soothsayers and magicians of Arabia regarded the jinn, devils, and voices from the beyond to be a means to communicate with the world beyond. The astrologers of India would try to unravel the secrets of the unknown world through the paths followed by heavenly bodies. The worshippers of Chinese temples would try to contact the unknown world by means of the spirits of their forefathers. The Quran negated all these unfounded means of communication with the unknown world and regarded knowledge gained through these means to be an amalgam of truth and untruth, and at the same time explained that the only reliable means of communicating with God is the angels who come to his messengers, and whatever God asks them to deliver these messengers, they do so in its original form." Reference Ibid, Volume 1, 424. Belief in the Prophets. O Prophet, we sent our revelations to you the way we sent them to Noah, and to the prophets who came after him. And we revealed them to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, the progeny of Jacob, Jesus, Job, Jonah, Aaron, Solomon, and we gave the Psalms to David. We have sent revelations to messengers whom we have mentioned to you earlier, and to some messengers whom we have not mentioned to you, and with Moses God had spoken, the way one speaks. These messengers who were sent as bearers of glad tidings and of admonishment, so that after them people are left with no excuse which they can present before God, and God is mighty and wise. Surah 4, verses 163-165. People through whom the Almighty completed providing his guidance to mankind are called prophets. They were in fact human beings. However, the Almighty selected them for this purpose on the basis of his all-embracing knowledge and wisdom. As such, prophethood is God-given and cannot be acquired through self-effort or training. Reference the Quran, Surah 6, verse 125. The Quran has narrated the incident in which Moses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was given prophethood. When he reached the valley of Sinai with his family on his way back from Midian, it was nighttime. It was difficult to find one way in the dark, and it appears that it was quite chilly too. Meanwhile, a darting flame was seen at a distance, and perhaps no one except Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed it. He bade his family to stay where they were, and himself expressed his desire to find out more about what he had seen, and possibly bring back some fire to warm themselves, or that if there were people there, he would inquire from them the way to the fire. When he came near the place he had sighted the flame, he heard a voice say, "Moses, I am your Lord, so take off your shoes. You are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. I have selected you for the responsibility of prophethood and messengerhood. So listen carefully to whatever is being revealed to you." The Quran has told us that after this he was given the same message as was given to other prophets. "I am God. Indeed, there is no God but me. So serve me, and for my remembrance pray with vigilance. The hour is sure to come, but I will keep it hidden. It shall come so that every soul is rewarded for its labors." Thus any person who does not believe in it and yields to his desires should not turn you away from the prayer, lest you perish. Surah 20, verses 14-16. It is Moses' sallallahu alayhi wasallam distinction that God spoke to him. The incident of the first revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been mentioned in the Quran in Surah Najm. It is evident from it that the position of prophethood was conferred on him through Gabriel, the exalted angel of God. The Quran says that on this occasion, He appeared in his actual form on the higher horizon, and the Prophet ﷺ saw him with his naked eyes. He then came near to him to instruct him, and just as an affectionate teacher bends over his dearly loved student, he bent over him with great love and affection, and came so close to him that he was within 2 bows length or even closer. Then he revealed to the Prophet ﷺ whatever he had been directed to reveal. He was taught by an angel, mighty in power, towering in character, endued with wisdom, while he stood poised, being on the higher horizon. Then he drew near and came down within 2 bows length or even closer. The Almighty then revealed to his servant that which he revealed. Surah 53, verses 5-10. These prophets were sent to every community. God had promised Adam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would guide his progeny through guidance revealed by him. This guidance was given to mankind through these very prophets. After receiving revelations from God, they tell what is the truth to people, give glad tidings to those who believe in him, and warn those who do not believe in him of a dreadful fate. Consequently, at one place, while addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran says, "We have sent you with the truth as a bearer of glad tidings and warnings, and there is no community in which a warner never came." Surah 35, verse 24. The details regarding these prophets which have been mentioned in the Quran, and which should be kept in consideration by everyone for professing faith in them, are discussed in the following paragraphs. The essence of prophethood. Prophethood is the selection of an individual for the purpose of communication with the Almighty. The Quran has informed man that he has been blessed with this honor in 2 ways. Firstly, communication from behind a veil. In this case, a person hears a voice, but does not see who is conversing with him. God spoke to Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way. He started to hear a voice from a tree in the valley of the Mount Sinai, but there was no one he could see. Reference the Quran, Surah 28, verses 29-30. Secondly, through wahi. This word is used for revealing something in the heart of someone. This again has 2 forms. Firstly, God directly reveals his message to the heart of a prophet. Secondly, he sends an angel, and this angel reveals something to the heart of a prophet on behalf of the Almighty. This phenomenon can occur both when a prophet is awake and in a vision while he is asleep. In case of a vision, whatever is communicated is at times in symbolic form. The way revelations would come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described in various hadith narratives. It is evident from them that in its most intense form, the sound of a ringing bell would precede the process of revelation. Such was the intensity of the whole process that he would be drenched with sweat even in the coldest of weather. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 1, number 2, Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 1028, number 6059. The Quran has specified that apart from this observation, the nature of wahi is beyond the comprehension of man. And they ask you about Al-Ruh, or the wahi. Tell them, this Al-Ruh is from among my Lord's command. Little indeed is the knowledge given to you. Surah 17, verse 85. Since revelations come to the prophets without any desire of their own, and from the divine part of their soul, they are absolutely sure about their authenticity. However, at various occasions, for their own satisfaction, the Almighty shows them extraordinary sights and experiences. An example of this is the Prophet's journey from the Baytullah to the Aqsa Mosque that occurred in a vision shown to him. Reference the Quran, Surah 17, verse 1. Such experiences also occur in real life. The following is an example of such an experience. And he beheld him once again at the Sidra tree, beyond which no one can pass near, which is the garden of repose. At that time the Sidra tree was covered with that which covered it. His sight did not wander, nor did it exceed the limit. In such a manner he saw some of his Lord's greatest signs. Surah 53, verses 13-18. At one place in the Quran, all these ways of communicating with God are mentioned together. And it is not the status of any mortal that God should speak to him, except by revelation or from behind a veil, or he sends a messenger, and through his permission, he sends revelation to him of what he wills. Exalted is he and wise. Surah 42, verse 51. It is evident from the words of the above verse that divine revelation is not sent to a prophet in the form of an idea or a thought. It is in the form of words which he hears, understands, and preserves. These words and their style are, however, something which a prophet is already familiar with, so that they are not incomprehensible and alien to him. It is for this very reason that both the words and meanings of a revelation are specific to a prophet depending upon his circumstances and abilities. Need for a prophet. Just as a person has been given the ability to infer through parables and induction, to make a whole through components and then explain the components through the whole, to assimilate ideologies through what is obvious, and to draw analogies from what can be felt through the senses for what cannot be felt, he has also been given the ability to distinguish between good and evil, and to make a distinction between what is right and what is wrong, and in fact he even has a comprehension of his Lord and his justice. We have already alluded to these abilities of man earlier. Thus, a prophet is not needed to inform people of these things. All these are ingrained in his nature and innately found in him. The Quranic verse in Surah 4, verses 163 to 165, which has been earlier referred to at the beginning of this section, belief in the prophets, shows that the need for a prophet did not arise to inform man of these things. It arose because of two other reasons. Firstly, for completion of guidance. This means that man be reminded of whatever is ingrained in his nature in concise form and of whatever he has known eternally, and all its details be specified for him. In certain verses, the Quran has regarded this to be a completion of divine favor. And we made these prophets leaders to give guidance at our behest, and revealed to them to do pious deeds, show diligence in the prayer, and give zakah, and they worship none but ourself. Surah 21, verse 73. Secondly, for itmam al-hujjah. This means to awaken man from his slumber of unawareness, and after providing the testimony of his intellect and knowledge, provide another testimony through these prophets to such an extent that no one is left with any excuse to deny the truth. O jinn and men, did there not come to you prophets from among you who proclaimed to you my revelations and warned you of your meeting with this day? They will reply, "We bear witness against our own selves." And indeed the life of this world deceived them, and they testified against themselves that they were disbelievers. This was because your Lord does not destroy cities because of their oppression, if their inhabitants are not aware of the truth. Surah 6, verses 130 to 131.